All right, last hour on a Monday. Welcome back in Sharp Betting in the Morning. And we welcome in Jimmy Watkins from the Omaha World Herald. 96 days away from the start of the season, Jimmy. 96.
It feels like it just flew by this offseason. So much going on. Wow, 96 days. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. It may be like this going forward until they, I mean, when you can portal, yeah. Spring
there is
ball,
no off-season.
And there may not be much of an offseason going forward, man. College football may be trying to be just like the NFL.
Yeah, it's a 12-month-a-year situation now. I mean, I'm trying to sneak away for a vacation this weekend. So, yeah, I hear you. We don't have too many of those opportunities anymore.
So do you have the curse of you'll be away and there'll be breaking news? Are you that? Is that happening to you in your career?
It certainly has happened before. You try to anticipate anything that may break, you know, like for example, with basketball, we have stuff ready to go on decisions for Trey McGowan's and Lat Man where we could plug and play a few things. But sometimes, guys, there are just things that you don't see coming. And I'll knock on wood as I say that because you never know and we don't want to run into that situation, but it does happen.
We were kind of getting into breaking down the rosters and percentages, and Sharpie's one of those guys. He was like, you know, Nebraska wants to get old and stay old, and I'm one of those guys that I think if you the more you say out loud it's a developmental program, I think it gives you a nice little target to get to. For you, with scholarship limits going away in terms of guys you can sign per year but having to stay under 85, what's Nebraska's next phase in terms of being able – to manage the roster to give themselves the best chance to have long-term success?
I think the developmental track is the way to go if you want to, because you want the culture to build upon itself, right? You want a situation like you have in Travis Fisher's room where you have good players that learn from the good players in front of them, and in theory, those good players create more good players. There is nothing wrong with supplementing. Mm-hmm. Supplementing being the key word here with transfer portal. I think this year was a unique circumstance, because Nebraska is feeling the heat right now, and this coaching staff knows how much pressure is on them to win immediately. I mean, win yesterday. I believe almost half of that 2020 class has already left the program. So where you would normally get some of that natural fill-in, you haven't gotten it. So I mean, we haven't played the games yet. Mm-hmm. I think their transfer portal hall looks pretty good right now, but that's kind of the deal with the transfer portal hall. That's kind of the only judgment we can make on it right now. We kind of have to see how this thing works. And I don't know, like the portal, so many people go in the portal for different reasons every year. It's more of a crapshoot, even though it's exciting to have a known commodity. It's exciting to have guys from marquee programs join yours. You just don't know what they're going to look like. And I think that's the danger with trying to make that business as usual, is that you don't know exactly why all these guys are in the portal, why it didn't work out at their last stop. And that's why I think developmental, you know, recruiting the four-year guys is the way to go.
What do you think win on and off the field brings from Alabama?
Size for one thing. I mean, 6'4", 307 pounds. That's a lot of person to move, and at that interior defensive line spot, that can be very useful. Damian Daniels had a similar frame, and he was great last year at eating blocks. I think that could be a role we see Wynn playing here. It is extremely cliche to say that coming from a winning program, he can help you build winning habits, but I mean, whatever they do at Alabama works, so it can't hurt to have a sprinkle of that in Nebraska's defensive line room, particularly along the defensive line, because there have been a lot of Alabama guys that maybe haven't lived up to their college production in the NFL. The defensive linemen, they generally do. Those guys are pretty rock solid. So I think what he does is top off a position group that we left spring with many concerns about. I think now we can at least take a deep breath on that one and have a sigh of relief knowing that they have the bodies they have the guys that can rotate in. Production remains to be seen, but I think that that's a position group that has greatly improved this offseason.
Jimmy, it's interesting. Are you more comfortable on May 23rd with Nebraska at the quarterback spot or Nebraska along the defensive line?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I would say quarterback, because Casey Thompson, assuming he is a starter, as I think we all should, has done more as a starting quarterback production-wise than pretty much anyone on the defensive line, excluding O'Shawn Mathis, has done. That doesn't mean that I think that either position is locked in and we don't have to worry about it at all. But I would go with Thompson. He's got the starting experience. He's got the production of 23 touchdown passes. I think he's uniquely prepared for this situation because he played at Texas. He's not going to be, I think for a lot of guys, it can be, even if you come from other major programs, there's a spotlight on you at Nebraska that just shines a little brighter than it does at other schools, because this is the only show in town and it's the biggest show in town. So I think he's uniquely prepared for that. And I think that, I don't know that it's, I feel overwhelmingly comfortable with either spot until I see games played, but I think I would go quarterback there.
What is the best way to approach, because you now going through the first offseason, and if you mention anything, hey, that's a win for Nebraska, there's some optimism, they got a recruit, or they've made some inroads, or the lay of the land is, well, they're not winning the offseason, I'm over that. People have gotten burned in the past, and that's perfectly fine. The season starts 96 days from now. But what do you make of when there's so many questions about the 22 season, and first and foremost is, will the guy running the show be back for 23? Nebraska is getting some interest in recruiting, and it seems to have a little momentum from this weekend and building what could be through the entire month of June. What do you think that is attributed to in this program right now?
I think it's the guys that they're bringing in. They've brought in a ton of experienced recruiting aces on the staff. Brought in Mickey Joseph, who obviously has an impeccable recruiting and development record at LSU. They brought in Mark Whipple, who just developed a Heisman finalist and the only quarterback who was taken in the first round last year. Bill Bush is a key figure here, because not only does he have the recruiting resume, the recruiting chops, he is uniquely familiar with how to sell this program. You could say that with Mickey Joseph as well. But Bill Bush has actually sold people on this program before. So I think anytime there is a coaching change of any kind, the head coach, assistants, whatever, it injects optimism because it's new, it's exciting. Everyone, on the first day, everyone is a hero, it seems like. So I think, to your point, there are still 96 games to play, and a lot of this momentum can change quickly if the season doesn't fall. I would make a comparison to basketball, where, you got multiple five-star kids showing up to football games last fall as Nebraska basketball visitors, because Nebraska had just landed Bryce McGowan's, and they had just signed their highest rated recruiting class ever. And, there's a lot of buzz going into last season that they should have been a bubble team. And now, Omaha Ballou just took him out of there. He just announced the top five. Nebraska's not in it. They just lost the four-star kid to Wisconsin. And the other five-star kid that visited that weekend, Simeon Wilcher, who is TJ Wilcher's brother, committed to North Carolina. So, some of that momentum has dissipated. They're still making inroads on the recruiting trails, but it's a to-be-determined game. Right now, you're right. There is some positive momentum. The visits, the reports in from the visits this weekend were very positive. But for particularly for the 2024 kids and beyond, we just have to wait and see how this year goes.
Yeah, I actually think, and let's assume, well, I don't know if I should or not. I'm going to assume Marcus Washington is in. Wynn says yes. How much convincing would I have to do with you, Jimmy, that Nebraska actually gets under the 85 scholarship limit and not at the 85 scholarship limit?
There's a lot of them parts there as well. I mean, for one thing, the more teams at actually 10, I was talking to Sam McHugh and my boss about this on our podcast last week. More teams end up under that scholarship limit than people realize. These scholarship charts that most people look at, like, you know, the places at Rivals, and then we keep one at the Omaha World Herald that we constantly update. That's kind of just like a general lay of the land. I don't think that we ever have a great pulse on exactly how many scholarships are being used at the time, because, you know, there's a bunch of one-year scholarship guys. That stuff changes year over year. I don't think that's crazy. I think there's, you know, there are injuries still to be had. There are, you know, situations with that we don't know happening behind the scenes. So yeah, I think that's entirely possible. And on the Washington front, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense that he would come here. He played with Casey Thompson at Texas, and there's, again, a lot to like about Mickey Joseph's recruiting track record.
Jimmy Watkins of the Omaha World Herald joining us. Let's shift over to basketball. The significance of Emmanuel Bandumel, I believe is how you pronounce his name, from SMU, joining the program in a year and an offseason, which kind of alluded to it with basketball. Nebraska hasn't offered every guy under the sun that's gone under the portal. It seems like they've been a little bit more selective. What does he bring as a guard to this team with the current makeup on the roster?
So with Emmanuel Bandumel, it's an interesting addition, because I was under the impression that they were going to bring in a ready-made scorer, a ready-made playmaker, a guy who had done that somewhere else. Emmanuel Bandumel was essentially the third option on offense at SMU. They had a high usage guard named Kendrick Davis. They had a big man that they fed the ball a lot into, and Emmanuel was more of a catch-and-shoot guy last year. 63% of his shots were three-pointers. Now, Nebraska seems to believe that there's a little bit more untapped playmaking potential there, but he is, first and foremost, a defensive guy, and I think that is the big takeaway from this offseason to me, is that they are sort of shifting their focus here a little bit. They want to be a defense-first program. Emmanuel Bandumel, just look at the kind of guys they added this year in the backcourt compared to the group they had last year. Last year, we're looking at guys like Kobe Webster. We're looking at Alonzo Verge. Keisei Tominaga is another guy they brought in as a transfer, still here. Those are smaller guys. Those are quick guys, like jitterbug kind of guards. You know, Kobe Webster, Alonzo Verge, they got some shake to them. They got some sauce to their game. Emmanuel Bandumel's big, man. 6'4", long. Sam Griesel's big, 6'6". He can guard wings. They brought in Juwan Gary. They're bringing in, he's more of a forward. Romel Lloyd, freshman from Sierra Canyon. He's big, man. It's like 6'5". So when Trev Alberts keeps talking about, you know, he thinks he wants Fred Hoiberg to change the program's philosophy. He wants to make himself uncomfortable. I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing a move towards the maybe more conventionally accepted Big Ten style. They're getting size in there. They're getting length in there. And I think there's going to be more of an element of, we're going to bang with you this year. We're going to be more prepared to take on those bruises that come with the Big Ten schedule. And I think Emmanuel is a perfect encapsulation of that.
It's obviously something, as we jump, your schedules made me think of as we hop back to football real quick. Big Ten obviously getting ready to make moves with scheduling. Advantage or disadvantage do you think for Nebraska to get out of divisions when you look at the long range game plan?
I think it's a disadvantage because it hurts their chances of playing for a Big Ten championship. Because the fact is that, you know, three of the best three programs, depending on how you feel about Penn State, are in the Big Ten East. And if they open it up where it's just, okay, the two, whether it's winning percentage or however they're going to determine it, more often than not, that's going to end up being Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, you know. So that's a problem for Nebraska, especially if when you're trying to get back into the national conversation, especially if down the line that Big Ten championship game becomes worth an automatic spot in the college football playoff. I think the scheduling part of it, there's going to be a certain element of randomness to it no matter what happens, because if they eliminate divisions, they're still going to keep pods to try and keep rivalries alive. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Nebraska is still going to be playing Iowa every year. I think Wisconsin is still always going to be on that schedule, and maybe Minnesota is in there as well. But then it's kind of just the luck of the draw on what you end up with on what would, you know, they would be crossover games. Now they're not anymore, but it's still kind of the same concept. You get a certain batch of teams from that side every year. And so I think I don't think it would be it would be more randomization for the schedule, but long-term, short-term, we're far off from Nebraska being in this conversation, but you want to have a chance to be in that conversation. In the Big Ten West, winning the Big Ten West is doable. Outplaying one of Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State is a lofty goal.
We'll see. I'm sure those are coming pretty quick. Jimmy, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great week, and enjoy your vacation.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks you. Jimmy.
The Big Ten will screw Nebraska, as everyone wants to know. They'll end up playing like 5-6 straight years at Michigan and at Ohio State. They'll be the only team that doesn't follow the rules in the Big Ten scheduling in the pod.
Yeah, no kidding. Football.
Yeah. Decision probably on Trey McGowan's coming here shortly. I don't expect him back. So take him off your scholarship distribution chart for Nebraska basketball. I don't know that that would be much of a surprise. I mean, maybe a surprise if he comes back. But he's gone further enough down that, and with his brother not being here, that I think he's gotten some good feedback that he'd like to play pro basketball, which is fine.
Yeah. And you don't knock that hustle at all.
Conference schedules being taken down off all of the websites in the Big Ten, you know what's going to happen? You know what now I can get you excited about? The excitement for a 2023 Big Ten schedule release show.
Stop.
Because it'll be brand new. You won't know. You'll find out for the first time who your rivalries are. If the rivalries that you picked, actually they picked you as well.
It's exciting.
Like in speed dating? Like where you pick somebody, they have to pick you as well
no,
to be hooked up?
No, I
don't.
Is
that how it works?
No, I don't know.
Is speed dating still a thing, Shane?
I don't know.
You know when speed dating like took off?
Shane's not even on the open market. He's not even on the open
market. They used to have an event on Valentine's Day at the library here in Omaha, speed dating.
If I was up to date on speed dating, yeah, that'd be bad. Because the girlfriend wouldn't like that. She would be listening. If I said yes to it being a thing, I guarantee you that one point that the girlfriend would ever be listening would be that one time. And I'd be so screwed.
What if you didn't have a girlfriend? Would you do speed dating? Would you go like to a bar night to have a speed dating?
I thought, whoa.
I don't know. Maybe.
Could you tell a woman in 5 minutes everything about you? Or not even in that, like 2 minutes?
Yeah, I'd have a pretty short conversation. I wouldn't have a lot of ums and oohms. I mean, I know I'd have to get it in. You know, I got to get it in where it fits right there. You know, I'm in, I'm
Damon,
out.
Damon, don't.
What? What'd I say?
Don't you go back and listen to. You maybe said something that your mom's going to call you.
Mm.
Quick little nugget to follow. So Nebraska baseball season is over. I think with everything at stake, the conference they were in, the expectations, it's one of the worst seasons in Nebraska baseball history. But Will Bolt maybe felt that during the course of the season. You just look how he's recruiting in season for next year. Rob Childress and Andy Sawyers are both candidates for the Kansas job that is open. Richie Price, who had been the head coach there for 20 years,
they've underperformed
at KU for a while. So that job is open. They have an internal candidate. But Rob Childress, if he wants to coach again, that would seem like a good landing spot. You know, I think he was happy to be back here this year. He sold his hunting property. He has a home in Eagle. But he likes being back at Nebraska. But if he wants to be a head coach, I don't know why Kansas wouldn't at least interview Rob Childress. So that job is open. And it is official now. We will not see any of our friends from Mississippi State. They didn't even make the SEC tourney.
No, went out with a whimper, too. Boy, that That staff got beat up.
Tennessee, that was the broom. We are that. We are a Monday closer to Tennessee coming to Omaha for the College World Series.
If it feels good.
They're going to win games 25-4. They're going to bat flip into the upper deck.
Yeah.
They're going to hit home runs. They're going to celebrate.
A home run!
They're going to be like the Savannah Bananas playing on the field with the Chuck.
No, we don't. Although I wouldn't mind attending a Savannah Bananas game. But, yeah, no. It's different.
Guys are going to have no undershirts. They're going to have the shirts open. They have chest hair flowing out.
Uh-uh.
They're going to be the anti-NCAA. And I'm here for it.
No, no.
That's your opinion.
Exactly. Exactly.
But looks like they will be the number one overall seed.
Mm.
You could have some unique teams here. Virginia Tech could be here. I mean, Virginia Tech is number two in the country. Who would have thought that in baseball?
I know. I was listening to one of those interviews that Connor had, and it appears though they saw this one coming. Like they feel pretty good going into this one.
There is some pockets of good college baseball. You got Virginia's won a national title. Maryland's having an incredible season.
May Virginia, are we going to start talking about the Eastern Seaboard and baseball?
Well, UConn's had a fantastic
season. It's not lacrosse.
Georgetown has had like a turnaround season.
Stop it.
I'm running out of teams.
No, stop it.
Whatever happened to St. John's? I know their head coach left.
Hey.
But St. John's was really
good. How about
good.
Him getting pissed at us?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Where you at? Where you at?
Don't bring up scheduling. I know that much.
We're going to play when we want to play. That's why. Okay. One quick thing back to the Purdue thing.
My man was not happy.
Look at what happened in college baseball last week. There were a lot of non-conference games that got postponed because teams didn't want it to impact their RPI. You don't think that's a little shady? I got to believe that Maryland wasn't real enthused to play on Saturday either. There was no sense of urgency because a loss would have hurt them. Like, yeah, well, you know what? We won the conference title. We're good. We're good instead saying, hey, we got to play this game. And we got to find a way to get this game in. Instead of, hey, we don't know what the weather's going to do. We're going to keep the tarp on. And they go, okay, just let us know. We're fine. Hey, did you know we won the championship on your field yesterday?
Yeah, and I was listening to some of the back and forth between he and Coach Goff. And you know, listen, they'll tell you it was about the travel curfew and not wanting to start a game and stop a game. Purdue wanted to allegedly play 9, even though a game is considered official after 5. There was some gamesmanship, right? Because they officially canceled it at 3:27 was the real time. But, I mean, hey.
The guy over at Illinois is going, hey, look at what we did on Saturday. We already knew rain was coming, so we moved our game up.
Yeah.
That's what they did against Penn State.
And they could have started at it was supposed to start at the same time as Nebraska did, right?
Yeah, in West Lafayette, they knew rain was coming for that Saturday. They actually could have played a doubleheader on Friday. If they wanted to, if they had looked ahead. But I still, once you got to Saturday, there was no sense of urgency on either side. On either side.
Yeah. So now, and I hated to break the news to Jason as he was kind of subtweeting, but I think he was referencing us that we only follow baseball 2 weeks out of the year, which was whatever. But I just wanted to remind him as he's kind of asking if we know that. 2 out of the last 4 years, an 8 seed has won the Big Ten tournament. I was thinking to myself, what 8 seed is he talking about, considering Purdue's the 7? So I didn't know how that was even relevant. But I guess we better cover it closer. I don't know. I mean, people have strong opinions, man. Sportsmanship, what mutually exclusive really means. Like, it's a real thing. Folks are passionate. But you know what really pisses me off?
Maybe he was just saying that because he was hoping Nebraska would have got that 8 seed.
Is that what it is?
I mean, it's got to be.
Because
they didn't even make the conference tournament.
Yeah,
jeez.
I know. Hey, wow. But so these are the things that really, and it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't. But I'm just reading a lot of these articles from over the weekend. And it was right dab smack in the middle of this paragraph. Husker fans took to social media to blame Boilermakers for not wanting to play and protect their position in the standings. Maryland had nothing to play for a Big Ten standpoint, but needed to leave West Lafayette by 5:30 to make their flight out of Chicago's Midway Airport. Like, I cringe every time I read that. I should get over it. I know I should.
Mm-hmm.
But why was that necessary to throw in? Is I just don't want to give people that ammunition. Like, why? That was part of the article. Should I care or should I not care?
Ignore him. The head coach handled it perfectly at Nebraska. The AD will handle it perfectly at Nebraska. You won't have an athletic director that says something and then his head coach buys into it and does the same thing. I think as we've made a decade tour around the Big Ten in some places, not all, there are some other media that are really taken aback by how much attention is given to Nebraska athletics here.
It's because we're still passionate?
Passionate, cover it, have two cities that have wall-to-wall talk shows.
What else are we supposed to do?
Exactly. Exactly. Cover college baseball? Mm-hmm. Entertain the host of the College World Series?
What's the likelihood we'll see that again? The situation with Purdue over the weekend, that we'll see that going on more and more often, you know, down the road. Towards the end of each season, you know, where a team may or may not feel they need to play for whatever reason because there's nothing to gain by it.
Here's what the Big Ten will do privately. Privately, the Big Ten will remind everyone about respecting the game, and if you have the opportunity to play the game, at any means, play the game. You know, find a way to play the game. That's all that'll happen. They'll say it privately. And
did you say Andy Means?
Yes. I wonder what he's doing in retirement.
I don't know, but you know what? He's actually been kind of active on social media. He may have more time. It's kind of funny. Like he's tweeted a couple times, and good on him. Because he never used to. But I think it's different. Like,
yeah,
you know, now you got more time. Now you can just be a fan.
Yeah,
it's not like. Coach, as Shane would say.
Colin says, the Big Ten schedule release show. They're going to do it for 23, and you will watch because you will have no idea what it's going to look like. He said it could be very on brand for the Big Ten to have that show at 9:30 on a Wednesday instead of prime time. Kind of true because that's when they get the personnel to the studios.
Oh, man.
They should have a prime time show. Oh. You will watch because you'll be very curious on who the three rivals are. And then who are the other five plus one or however they decide to do the non-conference or the conference schedule. Mm. But why we're talking about this, almost all of the Big Ten websites, school websites, have erased the 23 conference schedule. Huskers X's and O's, who is a good interactor with us, he first alerted me to it yesterday that Nebraska had taken off the conference schedule at Huskers.com. So I hope you weren't planning to go to blank.
Non-con's up, though.
Oh, yeah.
We can book that.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
Where do you want to go?
We've
Where you want to go for the non-con?
In 23?
Yeah.
Is that a trip back to Boulder?
No.
I don't even know if we'll have 23.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just focused on 22.
Why I could end up on the moon tomorrow.
I'm not the schedule guy.
You're the last guy and anybody in media that would look ahead. Yes, Boulder.
But is it at their place?
Yeah, that's the opener in 2023.
Man, God bless it.
Maybe not, because Nebraska has an opening on the opening weekend.
The week
of the
before, yeah.
So that'll be a conference game.
Well, will it?
Yes. Kevin Warren loves him some opening weekend conference.
You give
games.
Me that little goofy smirk. Just a regular again. What's wrong with three non-cons start the schedule?
Whatever the hell it is.
Just, you know, a home game, a tough game, you know, a cup. Like, just there are just no conventional ways to do this anymore?
No.
Oh, man, and his fifth year still has yet to have a regular, what I would call a regular schedule. Well, now we're going to Ireland.
In his fifth year, he gets the Bill Moose Classic.
Okay.
Bill Moose is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
He got an A-plus for his three hires. After this year, D-minus. But he has nothing to do with that. All he was tasked with was just hiring the guys. All right, 33 past the hour. We're going to give away a grill when we come back. Yeah, that's right. We're going to give away a grill. It is the great grill and griddle giveaway on Sharp and Betting in the Morning. We'll tell you how you can win next.
The Connor Happer Show.
These are the quarterbacks that they've got committed just under Ryan Day. Quinn Ewers, who was the number one quarterback in the class of 2021, he's since transferred out.
Quinn?
Yeah.
I don't like that name for a quarterback. Quinn, not strong enough. But please, proceed.
Excuse me, Quinn?
Quinn?
Yeah, get over it. He's going to be the quarterback at Texas this year.
Oh, no shot.
He's like the highest rated quarterback of all time.
3-9 confirmed.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on 1620, The Zone.
Whew, Woodhouse. Visit Woodhouse Chevy in Missouri Valley for all your vehicle needs. You can shop the inventory in-store or online at woodhousegm.com. Whether it's a car, a truck, an SUV, a new or certified pre-owned, Woodhouse has got you covered. You can experience the Woodhouse difference and shop with confidence at Woodhouse Chevy. I'm a guy that asks a lot of questions, and I think it's important, right? The timely responses and the patience that the staff and sales staff at Woodhouse has shown lets me know super educated and really friendly. Those are a couple of key qualities to have. Considerate of your time and your needs. The efficiency, man, it is a total bonus. It's just what Woodhouse does. You're looking for one-stop shops, whether it's maintenance or the purchasing of the vehicles. You can even peruse the website to figure out payment options ahead of time and get approved. It's all there. It's as good as it gets. And it's Woodhouse Chevy in Missouri Valley. Or visit woodhousegm.com.
Your Omaha.